bonus episode. Power Up Suits, and welcome in to the very first bonus episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today is my good friend Nate. What's up, man?
Not much. Ready for diving into the third season of the TTS League.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing here today. This bonus episode is all about the Tabletop Simulator League that's about to kick off Season 3. Your boy finally decided to get in on it, and so we figured that it might be interesting to discuss kind of the roster construction that I have going on, and then also talk about the overall league itself, like what are the popular characters, what are the popular cards, that kind of stuff. So, without further ado, let's just jump right into it.
And absolutely.
The first thing I got to say is, looking at what the matchup is for me, I have a matchup of my first week is against someone named Captain Nita. So if you're listening out there, congratulations on the win. And then I also got to say that I know a guy from your local, SF Evan. Isn't he in your local?
He is.
So he was my original first round matchup, but I guess Dylan wanted to spare him the pain of having to deal with me. So that's why we had a shuffle there.
I will assume so. But yeah, I don't know, man. Captain Nita is infamously known for choking, so you might be able to pull off a win.
Oh, what? It'd be the only one. It's the only one I'm going to get. And
do you get the reference? Do you know who Captain Nita is?
Yes, no, I know. I get it. Yes, okay. He gets force choked. I know what you meant. Oh gosh, that's so good. That's so good. I love it.
Cool. So do we want to dive into your roster first, or you want to take a look at just some of the numbers that we've seen from across the league?
I think we look at the numbers from across the league first, and I will go ahead and say I direct your attention to an Xavier Protocols article that he did. It's the Online League Season 3 Analysis. Jacob did a really great job over there, and like I looked at the numbers as well, but he kind of took everything that I would like to talk about and put it all into a nice little document. But I figured maybe you guys would like to listen to some of it and maybe get our thoughts on it as well. So first up, let's talk about characters, because I mean, that's the meat and potatoes of any good roster, right?
Yeah, it's a very important part, one would say.
Right. So one of the things that I've noticed is who the most taken character is, and that's Venom. And there's 131 rosters throughout three different regions in this league, mm-hmm. and Venom was taken in 74 of them.
Absolutely.
Like, wow, how his star burns bright. I mean, like...
Yeah, especially compared to where he used to be in the rankings, which was... definitely not even in the top five, and probably closer to the bottom 10 characters taken.
Yeah, and what's crazy is he's always been a good character, and his weaknesses haven't changed. Even since we talked about him on the after party, I think that he hasn't particularly gotten better with like Web Warriors and with Spider Foes. I think he's maybe slightly better, but to be such a staple in so many rosters, I don't know if that's... I don't know. What do you think?
Personally, I think we underestimated how much better... It's going to be a temporary boost, but how good he is against the Web Warriors and the percentage of people that are likely to bring Web Warriors... I can speak personally that I'm not playing as the Web Warriors or the Spider Foes, but I brought in Venom purely to say, oh, if I see Web Warriors across the table in my opponent's roster, I'm going to bring him in because he is able to just wipe out the different Spider people.
Right, because specifically he has the symbiotic instincts where you are not allowed to modify your dice against him. So that is specifically the tech that you're referencing there, right?
Absolutely. You ignore the leadership affiliation bonus, and you ignore Peter Parker and Miles Morales' passive bonus or innate bonus to reroll defense dice.
Yeah, and so when I first looked at this, I thought, oh man, I guess a lot of people are bringing Venom because a lot of people are going to be playing Web Warriors or Spider Foes. But then, like you just said, I thought about it a little more, and it's more of a counter to that, I think, overall, than actual people playing Miles and Green Goblin. So let's talk about that next. Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and Green Goblin are the new hotness, essentially. And if you look at it, so Miles was brought in 57 rosters, so 44% of the rosters. So you can infer that a good number of those people are going to be playing the Web Warriors affiliation.
Or at least have it as an option. It's a pretty small affiliation, so you can definitely fit two affiliations with the Web Warriors right now.
Exactly. But that's a far cry from the 74 Venoms. So there's definitely a lot there. And then also the Green Goblin. Green Goblin was brought 35 times. So still, if you even if you add Green Goblin and Miles together, that's still, it's more than the 74, obviously. But I still think that it's going to be a lot of people doing what you're doing and bringing it as a counter more so than actually playing those affiliations.
Yep, he's a good counter piece. He's always been a good model. He just took a hit as soon as the Guardians were released. That was the new hotness, and obviously he doesn't like playing into the Guardians because of all those energy attacks. So this is going to give him a chance to come back with a vengeance.
Exactly. So next thing let's talk about is what kind of surprised you with, like, what character stands out as you're shocked that they aren't brought more?
At this point, scrolling down the list a little bit, Captain America is now being only brought 22% of the time. Yeah. And I guess the one that stands out the most to me, though, is Corvus Glaive is down to 20%, where I really expected him with the Reality Gem along with Proxima Midnight to be much higher amongst all the different characters we're seeing.
Yeah, for me, I'm kind of with you, the Corvus one, because he's such a strong character, the Proxima one, and Thanos. I'm still surprised that Thanos isn't more ubiquitous just because of what he brings to the table. Yes, he's an expensive model, but he's such a battery for so many other things, and the Black Order was seemingly everywhere not that long ago. So I'm really surprised that there's not more of them. But also Star-Lord, down at 11% of the leagues brought Star-Lord. 15 teams brought Star-Lord. And I understand that the Guardians have some, some weaknesses. But at the same time, I still think that that's surprising to me. Like, I would have expected the Guardians to be in the mix a little more, you know?
Well, it's getting harder and harder because you look at Star-Lord. Let's say then 11% of players are bringing the Guardians of the Galaxy. You then have Thanos, who's at 18%. So we're up to about 29% of rosters, including Thanos with or the other leader. And then Red Skull's only at 19%. And then Captain America is actually, I guess, a little bit higher. So I guess, if anything, I'm a little bit surprised he's that high because a lot of people have been talking down about my Avengers. and kind of the exception to that rule is Black Panther and Thor. They're in multiple affiliations, and they're also just really good plug-and-play characters.
They are.
So we see a lot of the big leaders taking significant drops. And maybe that's because if they're not playing that affiliation, they're just not worth bringing.
Yeah, I think that that's really what's interesting about it is if you see that leader in there, I mean, they're likely to be there for the affiliation and not for what they do on the battlefield in general, which I find interesting. I think Star-Lord might be an exception. I think he could be a decent non-leader piece, but that's a discussion for another time. one of the characters that I'm surprised is up as high as they are, but I'm glad to see it because I think it's an underrated character, is Okoye at 34%. I think she's going to be a major flex piece for a lot of people.
Yep. We also have, I'm guessing this is just normal Black Widow. If I scroll down, it probably says Agent Black Widow somewhere else.
It does. Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. down there at 10%.
Yeah, so the two-point Black Widow, still by far the most popular, coming in at 30%. And, man, I just, I'm excited for this new league. It's going to be very different with the release of the Black Order is fully playable now. Not a lot of people are taking advantage of it, apparently, but it's there. The Web Warriors are going to be running rampant. Some Spider Foes are going to be making appearances.
That's right, they are.
And then, of course, on the 11th, we have the Defenders affiliation coming out. And I know a lot of this is going to change as soon as they drop, because it's already a really fleshed out affiliation that's not going to need to wait on additional releases.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of really exciting things to come from this league. I know my roster is going to change drastically as soon as the Defenders come out.
We'll see how I play as to whether or not mine's going to change.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So one of the things that we can also look at here that is judging what affiliations you can expect to see. And Jacob did the legwork for us. So again, I appreciate that, where he looked at basically tactics cards and characters within a roster to see kind of what affiliations were brought. And topping the list based on his judgment, and I think you could make an argument for one, you know, maybe something one way or another with that. Like, I think that, you know, that's just his inference. But topping the list is Web Warriors at 46 players. He expects to be playing Web Warriors. I know I'm one of them, so there's that. But that's at least one. You got it right at least once. And I think that that's probably what you could expect. And then when the Defenders drop in just very shortly, I think you'll see that number change to probably more in line with where the Avengers are at 29 people and 22%. And the Defenders, I think, are going to get a big boost.
Yep, Defenders are going to see a lot of... I think a lot of play. They're exciting. They've got some cool tactic cards coming with Strange that are going to make them a very interesting affiliation. And it is going to allow for both the Defenders and the Black Order players to have objectives that are going to fit their play style a lot better as well, I think.
Exactly. And the surprise for me, it's like we said on the characters, is the fact that the Black Order is so underrepresented. Only 10 teams look like they're taking Black Order, and that's 8% of the league. That's nuts.
Yeah, but if you think about it, there's not a lot of secures that the Black Order like to play on other than Gamma Waves at the moment.
Right.
But we're now getting more E objectives, whether that's in the form of Extraction or Secure. And so by having two secure E's, if you get secures, you are guaranteed the E secure layout,
right?
Which is going to be a huge boost to, I think, all of the Black Order and Defenders players, because they have very similar play styles and they want everything clumped up. Defenders are a little bit more defensive about it. The Black Order a little bit more offensive about it.
Right, and E for everyone is the one that's straight down Main Street, right? Like Gamma Shelters?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I just find that to be really interesting. I mean, everything, it makes sense. Like, everything's really kind of spread out until you get down to the last two, and that's the Guardians and the Black Order, and I'm just surprised.
That's fair, and I know some people are doing something completely different with the Guardians and really invoking the full swarm list, just putting as many models as they can on the table while trying to maintain that Guardian affiliation, so that could be cool to see pop up as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I hope I don't run into it. I probably will. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the tactics cards that are taken. And obviously there's a billion tactics cards in this game, so we're not going to go over all of this. But topping the list, as I'm sure you're not surprised, is Medpack. 107 players took Medpack. The next highest one, though, is field dressing. And it's a little surprising for me because I get field dressing. I get it. I get its benefits. It's really nice because you don't lose a character, essentially. You don't lose an activation if you play it right. But it just, I don't know. It just seems like a card. It's like if you play field dressing, well, you're automatically going to have to play a med pack with a patch up because you don't want that character just sitting there on one health just to get dazed again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, for me, I didn't bring it personally. And I really like it, though. And I think I might have made a mistake with it. But at the same time, it's like, I just don't know. I just don't know, you know?
It's interesting, yeah, because there's obviously benefits of being able to lose or to gain priority by losing that activation. There's all sorts of different areas on whether or not field dressing is a card to take. But again, if we look above, a lot of these rosters are the Web Warriors who enjoy having every single one of those activations. They go a little bit wider, so bringing a card like field dressing is a little bit easier because there's surely going to be somebody to use it on. Where in a more Black Order style list, you only have a few characters. They're going to be more spread out, and you're less likely to see a card like that.
Right, and they're also a little tankier.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I think that Web Warriors is an affiliation that would love to have field dressing. I just didn't. It seems like there was other things I wanted in there. Another one that's always popular is Brace for Impact and Drop Off. So your top five: Med Pack, Field Dressing, Brace for Impact, and Drop Off, and Lethal Protector. Interestingly enough,
yeah, that's the one I think that surprises me out of all the ones we're seeing up here. Is we're seeing a character specific one. That means Venom. And granted, we knew that he was taken 57% of the time. And if you're taking Venom, one of his key cards to make him super mobile, especially if you know you're playing him a lot, like you have him in an affiliation. But man, that's a lot of Lethal Protector.
It is. Venom's going to be everywhere, dude. He's going to be lethally protecting a lot of people.
Yep.
So, shout out to David Kirby from the Inspiring Monologue. Someone took Battlelust. Two people took Battlelust. That's his favorite card. And there are two of those in the league, and I just hope that I run into the person, one of the people that has it.
Personally, I'm really excited that Disarm has grown as much as it has, because from the previous article put out by Xavier Protocols, the online winning stats little blurb or whatever, I think there were maybe two people taking Disarm.
Yeah, oh, no,
there's 13. It was a little bit higher than that, I guess. But that one is slowly climbing up the ranks, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, I really like Disarm. It's a good card. It helps you deal with those big threats like a Thor, etc.
Yep.
And the one that I'm surprised at, just because it's a card I like and I think is really useful, is No Matter the Cost, where you can spend 1 to 3 health to be able to do a thing instead of power. Like, it's obviously damaging your own character, I don't think is good, but like when you really, really need something, No Matter the Cost is really going to come in handy. And I also like it for a Spider Foes list because timing when you want to flip Green Goblin is important because I think you do want to flip him. And if I want to make sure I flip him at the right time, well, then I can No Matter the Cost into a Knight of the Goblin or something like that. And then do the thing, then he's flipped. And I kind of like the idea of that. So that's why
You'll have to leave him on one health, but at that point, like, surely your opponent's going to try to take advantage of that.
Exactly. So overall, I think that it's an interesting combination of characters. I think, obviously, we're going to see a lot of Web Warriors. That, I think, is a given. And then the Crises is another one that we can expect that could kind of influence how the league goes. And we've got the Fear Grips the World as the Worthy Terrorizes Citizens, and that's the Hammers. We'll see a lot of that. The majority of that is the highest taken extract. 99 people took that one. And then the two that I'm not surprised that didn't get taken much is the Alien Ship Crashes Downtown and the Skulls Infiltrate World Leadership. Those two specifically they're still taking quite a bit, 30%, 33%, and 25% respectively. But those two are so slow playing. Like, definitely if you're a Black Order player, you probably took those, but...
Mm-hmm. Especially once you have the Reality Gem to slot in.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting. So we're going to see a lot of hammers and a lot of citizens, you know, panic grips the city as evacuation efforts continue, I think. That'll be what we'll see the most of in extracts. And then for secures... No surprise here, I think, with the way that the new characters like to play. You've got Infinity Formula, number one, at 102 people, Gamma Waves, and then the Riot Spark over Extremis 3.0. Like, I know Web Warriors really like Extremis. Spider Foes really like Infinity Formula. I think that extra power that you get from Infinity Formula is what people are really liking.
Oh, absolutely. They helps boost their teams, and with more and more teams being a little bit more power hungry because they don't have that Cabal extra power generation or Avengers discount, more and more people are craving it.
Exactly. So, all in all, I think it's going to be a really interesting season. I'm really excited to play all of the people out there that are going to beat me. I'm very excited for that. I think it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Now, with that, let's talk a little bit about your roster.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you've brought the Web Warriors. You also double-dipped a little bit here with the Spider Foes.
I did.
So we know those six characters then. That's pretty obvious. Tell us about who isn't one of those things.
So we've got MODOK, Black Panther, Shuri, and Okoye.
So really, you just crammed a additional affiliation in there.
I crammed it in, dude. And once I realized what I was doing, and full disclosure, I threw this together kind of quickly overall. Like, I was just like, yeah, sure, I'll play in the league and just kind of put something together one night. And so, you know, there is that aspect of it. But I seriously, once I realized what I was doing, I was like, do I put Wakanda Forever in my 8 tactic cards?
It was
very tempting because it's like, well, if I'm gonna do this, I mean, I might as well at least throw off my opponent and be like, well, what is this guy gonna play? But I didn't do that because I felt those tactics card slots were a little precious, and even though Wakanda Forever is a really great card, it didn't seem worth it to take it. But yeah, took the Web Warriors and the Spider Foes mainly, and the idea being to play the Spider Foes when I needed to fight. Like when I know that it's going to be Gamma Waves or something like that, like, you know, but still be mobile, but I need to be able to do some damage and whatnot. So So I figured I would take the Spider Foes there. And then my main flex piece is going to be Black Panther because he's so good and so universal. Like, I want to somehow be able to get Black Panther and Shuri together with the rest of them in some capacity. But if I can't get both of them, it's going to determine the crisis is going to determine which one I take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
yeah, no,
it just makes sense. And then MODOK, I think, really, really likes being a Web Warrior.
Yep, gets a full advantage from the. As long as he's contesting an objective or holding one, being able to make rerolls happen for days is going to be really strong for him.
Right, and being able to spend a power, he can spend his own power to do a reroll and reroll that skull if he's contesting or holding an objective. So, like, I just really love that. And if I play an extract that's something like a hammer, I mean, whoo! Yes, please. Mm-hmm. And I don't see myself putting MODOK with the Spider Foes often, but I'm really intrigued by the idea of Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus, Venom, and that takes you to 11. And then MODOK at 16. And then if you get that Citizens Crisis, putting in Shuri with that. Like, I think that sounds really cool. I don't know. I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that sounds really cool. So I think it could be a fun beat up kind of list. but it definitely has some weaknesses.
Absolutely. So real quick, one of the things I'm really curious about here is your tactic card selection.
Yeah.
You have the spider foes, but you're not running well-laid plans. All webbed up seems pretty understandable. Lethal Protector, again, very understandable. You're running two different affiliations that have venom in it, so yep. No-brainer there. So why no well-laid plans?
So I feel like the cost of well-laid plans is a little bit expensive for specifically Green Goblin, more so than Doc Ock. Doc Ock kind of has power to spare most of the time, mm-hmm. but Green Goblin, you really want to use his power with his abilities, I think, more so than that card, because the card is strong. Don't get me wrong. The card is strong. And if you can hit it right and time it right and hit enough characters, that's great. But at the same time, you're rolling five dice. You're only going to get the benefit of it on two sides of the dice, right? So a crit and a wild. So if you roll a crit and a wild, then they drop their ejected tokens and they take damage, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Yes. Yeah. They'll take damage, and if they take damage, they drop their objective.
Right. So while that's strong, I would prefer more guaranteed stuff when it comes to tactics cards, more immediate benefit versus, well, if I flub the roll five, like let's say I'm able to hit five characters, there's a non-zero chance I flub the roll five times, and I would prefer to not do that. And then I just wasted three power on two characters that I could have used that power on.
But to be fair, you have a 50% chance per die, and then you have five dice. So the odds are very strong that you're at least doing one damage.
A crit and a wild is a 50% chance?
Is it not crit, hit, and wild?
It's just crit and wild, I think.
Oh, never mind. I retract what I said earlier.
Yeah, that's why. If it was crit, hit, and wild, I would think it would be totally worth it at that point. At that point, you're damn right. It's worth it, because then it's doing one damage without them getting a defense roll would be great. But the fact that it's just crit and wild, it changes the odds for me just enough. And
yeah.
Yeah, so you just looked it up?
Yep, looked it up, and honestly, that's probably a lot more balanced. Being able to just roll a five-dice attack with no blocks allowed is insanely strong.
Exactly, and it's still a good card. I mean, and if you time it against Web Warriors, I think it's a good card as well. And the timing of it, again, using it when, you know, it's going to be a huge point swing for your opponent, but yet now you throw this card down and all those points they thought they were getting, now all of a sudden you either deny or you get. Like, that's really good. But again, it costs you six power total, three from Ock, three from Green Goblin. And frankly, I would rather my Green Goblin be able to do a trick or treat on his healthy side than that, because then I can throw a building into someone. Essentially, that's essentially what that is. It's not really a throw, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, makes sense.
And then, I'd rather save that power for a hit and run that has a Knight of the Goblin with it, because that would cost me six power right there. So it's just like, I think Goblin is already a power hungry character. So having a card that requires such a heavy investment, even as good as it is, just it wasn't for me. Now, I'm probably going to regret that, because I think it is, like I said, a really good card, but here we are.
Yep, and it's a really good card playing into Web Warriors, but
exactly.
Again, 2 weeks from now, the entire league is probably going to have its outlook changed, and we'll have to see what happens from there.
Right.
The rest of your tactic cards, though, look pretty standard. We already touched on All Webbed Up, Lethal Protector. Then you've got three of those cards that are just in the top tier: Brace for Impact, Patch Up, Med Pack, Drop Off. Drop Off obviously being very telegraphed as Green Goblin is your only flyer, but it doesn't make it any less strong since he can drop off Venom. And then Advanced R&D, which is again just something great for these more power-hungry affiliations, especially when you have a character like Shuri who can just be like, cool, I easily have access to three or more power on turn two, so let me just distribute it all to my friends.
Exactly. That's kind of the play there. And then the one thing where I think I might have made a mistake was bringing both Med Pack and Patch Up. Now, I obviously am playing Web Warriors, so they're a slightly squishier affiliation, but I think maybe I should have just brought Med Pack and then brought something else instead of Patch Up, which may be a field dressing in that case. Mm-hmm. But I still like Patch Up, and it still will help keep people alive when they need it. And
yep.
I don't have to use it for all 5 health that it gives. You know, even if it does 3 health, that's still good.
Yeah, and Patch Up is fantastic for your characters like Venom and MODOK, who have a lot of health that they can take and really take advantage of all 5 of that to stamina coming back to them.
Exactly. And another interesting thing that I have to shout out to Mark Fielder for kind of pointing out to me is that Brace for Impact, if I'm running Spider, it's another card that's really good and I really like it, but it's not as necessary with Web Warriors and Spider Foes. Web Warriors more so than Spider Foes, because if you have Green Goblin with the appropriate amount of power, so obviously 3 power to do a trick or treat, well, then you've already kind of slowed down the throw game as it is anyways. It's got a built-in slow of the throw, because the timing of trick or treat is when an enemy character ends in advanced or is placed within range 4 of this character. So if you have a Thor or Valkyrie or a Killmonger or whoever charging in, when their advance is over, you can trigger that part of the ability.
Yep.
And
as long
then
as
they get their attack.
So basically, as long as your opponent is purposefully moving towards you, with the small exception of like characters that can throw themselves, Green Goblin is going to be able to blow up any terrain before they even get a chance to interact with it.
Exactly. So I don't think I'll see Brace in my lists when I play Spider Foes or when I have Green Goblin in a Web Warriors list, which I think is fun. But at the same time, I still think it's still a really great card and can just save a character's life from getting nuked if you see some size 4 terrain out there.
Yep, it is a clutch card in so many different situations.
Exactly. And then the Crises I brought, and this is more because some of them I just enjoy playing more so than the tactical advantages I would get from them. So my extracts are the Spider Infected, the Evac Citizens, you know, Panic Grips as Evac continues, and then the Worthy, the Hammers. And I obviously, as Web Warriors, probably don't really like any of those extracts all that much, but I think they're fun to play. I think the best one for me is actually the Hammers, because you start with the hammer right there in front of you, so you can go pick it up easily, and then go wide to get one of the other ones. So I like that. And then what?
I was just going to say, all the extracts at the end of the day are good for the Web Warriors enough. Like, sure, maybe you could have thrown in the Cosmic Cube, but all of these are ones that have multiple objectives to pick up, so you're able to spread out the leadership bonuses as much as possible. So I think you did pretty well there.
Yeah, I like it. And then with the Secures, I chose the Portals Overrun the City with Spider People. That's the new one. And I chose it just because it sounded fun, honestly.
Understandable. And I will say, with the Web Warriors' mobility, it's actually really nice for them, because they're able to easily bounce back and forth. And if your opponent is just trying to camp on one, you, of course, have plenty of ways to move them off of a point, capture it, and run away.
Exactly. And it's another one that's in that diamond configuration, that like the Hammers and like the next one, Riot's Spark over Extremis. So I really like that, because you pretty much automatically get one. Granted, there's some plays that can, you know, bring a Corvus into your face or a Thor into your face that kind of mess with that. But still, I like that configuration with the Spider or the Web Warriors. And then the last one I brought was Infinity Formula. So there you go. I talked
yeah,
about it
makes
earlier.
Sense. We already talked about that.
Yeah. Now, I will say my plan for this is to generally pick blue. I think if I get priority, I want blue, and I want Extremis or Portals Overrun City with Spider People.
Mm-hmm.
So I have about a 50-50 chance of getting what I want there. and, you know, all the priority shenanigans and everything. So, I think the plan will be solid there.
Yeah, man. I like the looks of it. I like the looks of the roster. I look forward to hopefully getting a chance to actually finally get a game in with you and maybe even get a chance to crush you, but we'll see. Probably. I know that both Spider Foes and Warrior, the Web Warriors, have plenty of things going for them in their corner as well.
That's true. And real quick, before we get too far along, before we end it, because we're about to finish this one off, I have to say that, so when I posted the roster and everything, I was like, oh yeah, how am I going to get beat? What are my weaknesses? This and that and the other. And everybody, a lot of people commented on it. And, you know, we had Jordan Blythe saying I should drop Infected for Cubes, but otherwise solid all around. David Kirby, I find your lack of battle lust disturbing. Nick Conlin, it was asking if I was going to be making thwip noises while using an ability with web in the title, and that is absolutely accurate. I am damn sure going to be making that noise, like thwip, thwip, thwip. It's going to be everywhere.
Absolutely.
Then we had Tim Simpson talking about what he's playing, Web Warriors in Asgard, and I'm excited to maybe play him soon. Matt Sanders, also taking Web Warriors in Asgard. He said he almost went with Foes, but he doesn't think Foes are quite there yet. I disagree, but that's neither here nor there. And let's see, we've got Bryce Potts asking what my plan was if opponent encounters with a Skrull, an herb with a Web Warrior, Wakanda don't seem like they play well into solo extraction. And I agree with that. And my plan is to try hard. And then lastly, we got a comment from the one and only game designer himself, Will Schick. He commented, he said, it's full of fun characters you love and cards in crisis you find fun. I'd say it's perfect. And you know what, Will? I completely agree with that, because at the end of the day, like you said at your Gen Con thing, it's about having fun. And I think that this roster, for me, is going to be a ton of fun, and I'm really excited to play it.
Awesome, man. Well, I think everybody, at the end of the day, they're obviously the people that enjoy the more competitive scene, the aspects of it. But this is just such a great casual game that can be played strategically and have important decisions. But at the end of the day, you're still rolling dice and having fun, and that's what matters.
Exactly. And with that, I think this is where we're going to end this one. Thanks for listening to our first bonus episode. I hope that you guys liked it. We might do some more of this kind of stuff in the future when the feeling tickles our fancies, if you will. But we really appreciate it. Nate, where can people find you?
Guys, as always, you can find me over on the Gamers Guild. Just continue covering all things Marvel Crisis Protocol. And hopefully in not too distant future, maybe a couple of other things. But that is all scheduling and whatever else dependent.
I feel that. You always can find us at House Party Protocol Podcast on Facebook. You can email us at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. You will get notified as soon as it's released, hopefully. Apparently, some of those websites are being weird right now. But you should get notified as soon as it's released. And then also, if you would, leave us a review if you're able. It really helps the podcast get seen by other players and new players, old players alike. So that would really help out. And then also, Nate, let me ask you this. Should we give away, should we do a secret code for the giveaway on this bonus episode?
I mean, if we're doing a bonus episode, I think we should.
Absolutely. What do you think our bonus code should be?
I think it should just be bonus.
Bonus. I like it. That's what I was thinking too. I love it. So guys, we have a giveaway going on right now, so make sure to go to our Facebook page for all the details on that. We're giving away a Green Goblin character pack, and you have a new secret code, and that secret code is bonus. So send us a message with that secret code. You will get a bonus entry to our giveaway. The code word again is bonus. So
I think you said it enough.
Have I said bonus? Do I need to bone us anymore?
Whoa.
Too far? We taking it one? Too far. It's one too bonus much. Too much? Well, Nate, thanks for being here, dude. Party on.
Party on, Will.
And power down suits.